Welcome to Shattering This,
a program devoted to the most important, to the fastest growing, and to the largest segment of society, to those who are waking up and realizing that the world's political, religious, military, economic, and media institutions are corrupt, that they're counterproductive, and that they cannot be fixed. Those of you who listen to the program have absolutely nothing in common with those who are marching in favor of Michael Brown, hands up, don't shoot, or that black people's lives matter too, holding up such signs. You have nothing in common with them, first of all, because they are political to the point of being religious about it, and second, they would be wrong. There is a serious problem with America's police. There's a serious problem regarding America's military. There's a serious problem regarding America's judicial system. None of those things have anything to do with race. Yes, police are overly belligerent. Yes, police are way out of control. Yes, police are poorly recruited, poorly trained, and improperly equipped. All of those things are serious problems, and the court system favors the police over those that they injure and kill. But the fact is that African Americans have to be profiled. Have to be. When you are 800% more likely to commit a violent crime than any other ethnic group, you have put yourself in a position where you must be racially profiled. It's just like Muslims. They're responsible for 99% of the world's terrorist acts. They must be religiously profiled. To not do so would be absolutely insane. It would be ignorant. It would be irrational. So if you don't want to be racially profiled, then you've got to do something with your community. You've got to take responsibility. Now, I understand there's some very good, and the majority of, and it's a slight majority, but a slight majority of African Americans that are really good people that have never committed a crime, that work for a living, that are not dependent on the government, and have taken advantage of all that society has to offer, and have contributed back to it. But there's a way too high a percentage of African Americans who are not doing any of those things. And the facts are clear. In interracial violence, the African-American is 8 times more likely to be a perpetrator than a victim. And according to the Department of Justice figures, African-Americans are 800% more likely to commit violent crimes, armed robbery, rape, assault, and murder. So, you have a problem. Are we going to address the actual problem? As for the justice system, it is racially blind, as it should be. There is a slightly higher likelihood that a Caucasian convicted of this or indicted on the same crime is going to be convicted. The Caucasian is a slightly higher, about 10% higher likelihood of being convicted on the same crime that an African American is. The African-American, if convicted, is likely to get a 10% longer sentence. Both of those things offset each other, and they are statistically irrelevant. That's the reality. So if you want to protest, protest against the problems that are inflicting the African-American community. I think it's too many generations of welfare, of entitlements, of getting things that are not worked for. I think it's destroyed character. I think it's too many children born outside of marriage. I think rewarding unwed mothers for the number of children they have and increased welfare payments is a serious problem. I think food stamps is a problem. I think there are too many programs that destroy character. I think there's too few examples of how to behave properly, how to be a contributor to society. I think there's too many people providing excuses, blaming others for the problem that is inflicting this community. And for God's sake, if you're going to protest, protest on behalf of those who deserve your support. Trayvon Martin was a punk. Michael Brown was a thug. If you're going to put up your hands and salute, hands up, don't shoot, then you need to get your facts right. He didn't surrender. I wish he wasn't dead. Robbing a convenience store and attacking a cop is justification for killing somebody. But the fact is, he brought it upon himself. He is not worth protesting on behalf of. There's an interesting setup on my news feeds. Two stories that were positioned right next to each other. First is that the families of the 26 people killed at Sandy Hook Elementary School have filed a lawsuit. You heard this if you tuned in initially and heard the SRN news, against the manufacturer, the distributor, and the seller of the rifle that was used in the shootings. The negligence and wrongful death lawsuit. Now, the negligence on behalf of a manufacturer of a legal product, a product that's actually made legal by the U.S. Constitution, nonetheless. I mean, we're not talking about some obscure law in some obscure place, but a product that is specifically authorized as legal in the U.S. Constitution is lawsuit that claims that it is responsible for wrongful death and negligence. I mean, if you were a judge and you had three wits about you, you'd throw out the case. But what I want to point out is that while they are suing the manufacturer of the Bushmaster AR-15 rifle, that's a rifle I happen to own. Fine rifle. While they're suing them, the next story was Shanarev, the surviving suspect in the April 2013 Boston Marathon bombings, is scheduled to appear in a federal court in Boston this week. So if it's appropriate for the Sandy Hook families who lost loved ones to sue the manufacturer of the Bushmaster AR-15 rifle, why is it not appropriate for the survivors of the victims, both those mutilated and those murdered, by Shanarev, the Muslim bomber in Boston, to sue the manufacturer of the crockpot? Both devices were used for murder and mayhem. If you can sue the manufacturer of the rifle for negligence and wrongful death, why can't you sue the manufacturer of the crockpot? After all, if you look at Inspire magazine, the magazine by the fundamentalist Muslims and the Arabian Peninsula, of how to perpetrate terrorist acts, they don't display a AR-15, not a Bushmaster in the entire piece. No, they feature a crockpot as the most effective mutilating and killing device. So if you can sue the rifle manufacturer, you ought to be able to sue the crockpot manufacturer. I only bring up this comparison to show you how ludicrous all this is. Dateline Jerusalem, Israel's Internal Security Service, said Monday that it arrested five, and it says here Palestinians, there's no such thing as a Palestinian, why don't we use the correct term, five Muslims, for planning attacks, including a suicide bombing in Tel Aviv. Why do I know that they're Muslims? Well, because, 98% of the people wrongly called Palestinians are, in fact, Muslims. You have to be stupid to use the term Palestinian. You really have to be completely ignorant to use the term because it is misapplied. It is a mythical name, a name specifically used to mislead. And since in Islam, lying is essential to the religion, it is condoned in the religion's founder and the religion's wannabe God were both acknowledged liars according to their Quran, their recital. So when you're dealing with someone who is going to lie about who they are, you're dealing in all likelihood with Muslims. Second of all, they were planning on using a suicide bombing. There is no other religion. There is no other political manifestation that uses suicide bombings. The last time we saw suicide bombings by anyone other than a Muslim dates back 70 years ago. You have to deal with the kamikazes of World War II. That was a mix of political and religious inspiration, and they became suicide bombers. But again, it was in wartime. They were doing this mission as a military endeavor, and their targets were foreign military who were attacking them. So when you use a tactic like this against military to military, it's quite different than civilians being motivated by their religion to take their own life to kill civilians that they don't know that are innocent for the express purpose of earning a direct ticket to the Islamic paradise. So the very fact it's a suicide bombing, the fact that the people doing it are lying about who they are, they're obviously Muslims. They were going to perpetrate their suicide bombing in Tel Aviv. The suspects from the West Bank, which is Judea and Samaria, were arrested in October and November. They included a woman who planned to blow herself up in Israel's commercial capital, the Shin Bet said. The announcement came after a series of deadly incidents in Jerusalem in November, where a lone Palestinian attacker, now this would be a lone Muslim attacker, I don't know why lone makes any difference, but Muslim attackers, killed a number of Israelis. It also comes as Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu seeks to resist a, this says Palestinian, why don't we say Muslim, ultimatum through the UN Security Council to end Israel's occupation. Israel isn't occupying anything. The very concept of Israel and occupy in the sense of occupying other people's land is ludicrous. The Muslims have no claim to it. The Jews have an absolute claim to it. There is no group of people, no race on earth that has a more legitimate claim to their land, both in terms of duration of time that they have been there or the individual who gave them the authorization to be there than the Jews. You could not find anyone more authorized than they are. And, of course, Benjamin Netanyahu, for the first time, this is what was news about this, is actually using the term Islamic terrorism and saying that the problem right now is the spread of Islamic terrorism throughout the region. We'll be back. So it was encouraging to see Benjamin Netanyahu actually used the term Islamic terrorism, because that's the root of the problem. It's always been the root of the problem. It is the reason that Hamas began launching rockets into Israel. It's the reason that Hamas dug the tunnels into Israel. It's the reason that the first two intifadas were called. It's the reason for the existence of the PLO, for Fatah, for Hamas, for Oscar Martyrs Brigade, is Islamic terrorism. Islamic terrorism today is really the only form of terrorism. There is none other. And terrorism is Islamic today. And it is spreading. Now, it's spreading for lots of reasons, but one of the reasons that Islamic terrorism is spreading is that Muslims are sensing two things. One is that throughout the Middle East, Muslims are becoming more fundamentalist. To be a fundamentalist Muslim, to be a good Muslim, you have to be a terrorist. It's impossible to be a good Muslim and not be a terrorist. All good Muslims are terrorists. The Quran makes that definition. Read the Ninth Surah. I'm not saying this to be pejorative. I'm telling you the truth. The Ninth Surah defines good Muslim and hypocrite, bad Muslim. And a bad Muslim, a hypocrite Muslim, is a Muslim that does not engage in jihad. So all good Muslims are terrorists. And so one of the reasons that we're finding a rise in Islamic terrorism is because Islam is becoming more fundamentalist. It's going back to its roots. Muslims are becoming ever more like Muhammad. The closer they come to Muhammad, the more they understand the Quran and Hadith, the more they follow Muhammad's example and the Quran's and Muhammad's orders, as the Quran orders them to do, they will be savages. That's the bottom line here. Second, there is this sense amongst Sunnis that after the invasion of Iraq, where America gave Iraq to Iran, that the influence of Shia Islam has risen and that Sunnis sense that this is their time to destroy Shia Islam so that all of Islam can be united under Sunni Islam. And therefore, there are civil wars being fought in countries throughout the United Arab Emirates, throughout, of course, Iraq and Syria, where it's a open war between Sunni and Shia, in Yemen, to a lesser degree, in Saudi Arabia, and in places throughout the world where there is a mix of Sunni and Shia Muslims. And it's for total domination of the Sunni. That's the second reason that Islamic terrorism is spreading. I would say the third reason is because of Barack Hussein Obama, and also because of the United States in general. The United States has empowered Islam. We've armed Muslims. We provide more weapons than any other nation on earth by tenfold. We buy Islamic fuel, funding them. We run cover for them, and our presidents lie for them, position them in favorable circumstances relative to their hideous endorsement of terrorism, like removing scores of pages from intelligence reports of what happened on 9/11 to protect Saudi Arabia. We run cover for them. We aid and abet them, as we did when we removed Saddam Hussein and gave Iraq to Iran. We run cover for them when we negotiate with Iran over its nuclear ambitions and liberate its economy. So those are all contributing factors, as was and is Obama's constant disassociation of Islam and terrorism, and his speech where he and speeches where he consistently praises Islam. Five Muslims, also in the town of Atil near Tulkarim in the northern West Bank, Samaria, were also planning to blow up a bus and kidnap Israelis, the Shin Bet said in a statement. It added that there was a high level of motivation among the Islamic terrorists after the Gaza war in July and August. Yeah, they lost. Every time that Muslims try to attack Israel, they lose. Every time. Time after time after time after time. You'd think they would get the message. If they had half a brain, if Islam hadn't destroyed their ability to be rational, they would realize every time they attempt to destroy Israel, they lose. Speaking of Islam, Australian commandos this morning stormed a cafe in Sydney that ended the siege by a gunman who has now been identified as an Iranian refugee. He should just be identified as a Muslim fundamentalist. Paramedics carrying stretchers reached towards the cafe moments after the commandos moved in. This siege began as I was doing my show on Friday and continued through the weekend. We now have resolution. So this morning, Australian commandos finally stormed the cafe in Sydney that brought the long siege to a conclusion. For those who are aware, the gunman who took these civilians, innocent civilians, hostage, and he did not have an economic gripe with the chocolate shop. He did not have a nutritional gripe with the chocolate shop. He didn't have a gripe as a neighbor of the chocolate shop. No, his entire purpose was his religion. He wanted to show the nature of his religion, and like good Muslims, when they show the nature of Islam, when they show their true nature, what Islam does to them, they are brutal. And so he went in with his gun and took a bunch of people in the chocolate shop hostage. I don't think they ever gave us the exact number. The low number was 25. The high number was about 50 that were captives. Now, during this whole thing, this individual who had sought refugee status in Australia. Now, if he's a Muslim and he's in Iran and seeking refugee status in Australia, it says two things. One is that he must be a Sunni Muslim, because Iran treats Sunnis the way Iraq treats Sunnis, because we gave Iraq to Iran. The same way that the Sunni nations treat Shias, you know, like dirt. So this possibility that he was a religious refugee. Now, the second part of that is that what in the hell was Australia doing taking in a Muslim as a refugee when his gripe was Sunni v. Shia Islam? I mean, that's like saying, you know, somebody's got, Africans have Ebola, and Ebola is really contagious, and it's really deadly. So I think the smart thing to do is let's start flying those who are infected with Ebola into Australia. That'll make Australians a more secure, more compassionate country. You know, Islam is far deadlier. Islam is far more caustic. Islam is far more contagious than Ebola. I mean, Islam has killed 1,000 times more people than Ebola has ever killed. So here we have Australia getting bitten for doing something stupid, for providing a refugee status for a disgruntled Muslim. This fellow forced his captives to hold up the black flag of Islam, the black flag of jihad, the black flag that says only Allah has the right to be worshipped. The black flag that Muhammad conceived when he was leading 75 terrorist raids during the first 10 years of the Islamic era. This fellow styled himself as a Islamic cleric. He wasn't just a Sunni Muslim. He was a really good one, an Islamic cleric, and therefore a jihadist, and therefore a horrible individual. So this whole thing was over Islam. Now, we know that several people were injured in the chocolate shop. And as I read this to you, I do not know what the fate of the gunman is. Don't care. If he's dead, then the world is better off for it. The center of the city has been on lockdown since the gunman seized the hostages. To the credit of Australia, well, I've saw a lot of SWAT teams and a lot of people wearing military-style helmets and in military-style gear, carrying military-style rifles. The onslaught in Australia, in Sydney, during this example of Islamic behavior was vastly more civil, vastly more appropriate than what we saw in Boston. I have always thought that Australia and New Zealand were a decade or more behind the United States in terms of moral decay. This is just one window into that reality. Early in the siege, hostages, as I said, were forced to hold up a black Islamic banner in the window. The Prime Minister, Tony Abbott, said it was profoundly shocking that people were being, this is a quote, held hostage by an armed person claiming political motivation, end quote. Political motivation? They held up an Islamic banner. Now, if we're going to redefine Islam as a political entity as opposed to a religious entity, then for God's sake, let's criminalize it. Let's outlaw it. Let's declare war against it. If we're going to declare Islam a political entity, then let's go to war against it. Let's call it illegal because it inspires this kind of behavior, because it's responsible for 99% of terrorist acts. Because it encourages kidnap and rape, encourages the slave trade, it encourages torture and beheadings, because it is reprehensible and counterproductive. If it is a political force, a political motivation, as the moronic Prime Minister Tony Abbott said, then by God, let's outlaw it. Study it as a political doctrine. Read its constitution, the Quran. Read its Federalist Papers, which would be the Hadith. Come to study the life of its forefather, Muhammad. And then look at its early history. And then based upon those things, which all say and paint the same story, that Islam is a corrosive force that has been more destructive on humankind than any other thing that man has ever conceived, and expose it and condemn it. If you're not going to do that, then at least admit that it wasn't a political motivation claiming Islamic motivation. And then don't be surprised. Don't pretend that it is profoundly shocking that a Muslim is holding hostages at gunpoint. To say that you're profoundly shocked that a Muslim would act like a Muslim is to say that you are completely ignorant. The suspect, a 49-year-old man, Heron Morris, received political asylum in Australia in 1996 and was on bail facing a number of charges. Yeah, he was a criminal prior to being a criminal. The Muslim cleric was described by his former lawyer as an isolated figure. Yeah, isolated. Just one of 1.5 billion. There's a theme here in Paris, France. This is now the third country, actually the fourth, because we have a sighting of Shenarev, the Muslim of the Boston Islamic bombing. So this is the fourth story in a row that has the same perspective, that of Islam. The French authorities have arrested 10 people, 10 Muslims, on Monday in a series of raids aimed at dismantling a recruitment and transportation network for would-be jihadists wanting to reach Syria. The reason we know that they're Muslims is that no one in their right mind would go to Syria unless they were a Muslim, and a Sunni Muslim on top of that. And jihad is a Islamic religious term. Now, it's amazing and should be self-incriminating that the religion of Islam has a term that is a religious term, jihad. It's defined as fighting with all manner of weapons to kill all non-Muslims. The arrest came as worries in Western Europe that jihad groups in Syria and Iraq, especially the Islamic State, have grown increasingly effective at attracting foreign-born fighters because nationality has nothing to do with what is happening in Syria and Iraq. Nationality has nothing to do with what is happening throughout the Islamic world. Nothing. It doesn't matter if the Muslim is French, if he's English, if he's German, if he's Italian, if he's Moroccan, if he's American. It matters not. The thing that matters, are they Muslims, A, and B, are they good Muslims, fundamentalists? The Agnes Talibault, Luc Curieve, a spokesman for the Paris prosecutor's office, declined to provide details about the arrest, but said they were made on charges of, quote, conspiracy to prepare acts of terrorism, end quote. Now, this is a serious problem, since this person works in the prosecutor's office. If you're trying to recruit and transport jihadists to Syria, you are not in conspiracy to prepare acts of terrorism. There is no connection between those things. The jihadists in Syria are using conventional weapons. They're using primarily American weapons, either given to them or stolen, against Shia Muslims. This is a traditional military battle. It's not a terrorist battle. And B, the recruitment and transport of individuals is not a conspiracy to commit terrorism act. Now, if the information that was released is incorrect, and that their crime was that they were planning to perpetrate a terrorist act within France, that's a different story. But then don't cite the evidence that you're concerned about the transport of individuals to Syria. And the fact is, the single best thing that could happen to France, to the United States, to Canada, to any country in Europe, is for those Muslims who have become fundamentalists, who wish to engage in the jihad in Syria and Iraq, to go. Let them go. Then they're out of those countries. They're no longer providing a threat to those countries. Let them go. If they get killed, so what? No loss. Just never let them come back. It's really pretty simple. There's nothing wrong with having disease flee your home. It's only stupid if you let that disease back into your home. We'll return. Last month, the Paris prosecutor said that over 1,100 French citizens had been linked to fighting in Syria or Iraq, including those planning to leave, those in transit, those currently on the ground with jihadist groups, or those who had already returned to France. 1,100, that's a lot of French Muslims so deranged by their religion that they want to go and engage in the great jihad against fellow Muslims in Syria and Iraq. But it tells you the nature of the religion, because the fight in Syria and Iraq is completely religious. It is a battle between Sunni and Shia Islam. So for 1,100 French Sunni Muslims to be so deranged to think that it's their calling in life, it's their God's will that they go and fight fellow Muslims to the death. Wow. That's a significant indictment against the religion. And then shame on France for allowing any of them to return. There has been a considerable increase in those who leave, 82% since the beginning of 2014, says the French prosecutor's office. 82%, now that's a significant number. An 82% increase since 2014. What happened since the beginning of 2014? That's when the abominator began to declare war against the Islamic State. That's what marked the increase. You know, once again, I was right. I told everyone who would listen that by declaring war on the Islamic State, by drawing attention to them, by condemning them, by bombing them, that Obama was simply going to strengthen them. He would increase their numbers, not decrease their numbers. And that he would increase their popularity, not decrease their popularity. And in fact, every time he opens his mouth about the Islamic State, every time he authorizes another attack, he's accomplishing this exact thing. Here is, in France, absolute proof that he was wrong and that I was right. You cannot prevail against a religious enemy with bullets and bombs. The only tool that can be deployed against a religious foe are words wielded wisely. When you wield words wisely, when you use the religion's scripture, when you use the words and deeds of the religion's founder against the religion, exposing it and condemning it based upon the behavior of the first adherents of that religion, then you're on solid ground. Then the religion ultimately crumbles. And the bad manifestations associated with the religion cease. But when you attack it with bullets and bombs, for everyone you kill, you manufacture 100 more. This is the lesson the abominator has failed to learn. Dateline Washington, D.C., CNN is reporting that a defiant former Vice President Dick, I am an absolute pile of crap, Cheney, doubled down on his defense of the extreme interrogation techniques used by the CIA on detainees in wake of the 9/11. This says terrorist attacks. Why don't we call it what it was? Islamist attacks. On Sunday, saying, "I would do it again in a minute." End quote. I really hope that the United States shows a touch of moral fiber and extradites Dick Cheney to face trial at The Hague. I would love to see that sorry, rotten, degenerate human being tried, convicted, and imprisoned for the rest of his life for what he has done to degrade America and to render America a laughingstock, a moral pariah in world opinion. I would love for him to bear responsibility for authorizing the torture of thousands of people. Those that authorize torture are far worse than those who actually perpetrate the torture. In today's world, between Dick Cheney and George W. Bush and their national security advisor, Condoleezza Rice, as well as the head of the CIA during this period, there are no more horrific people in the world today. And that's saying a lot, considering the nature of fundamentalist Muslims and the terror that they are perpetrating on the world. Now, when we return to Shattering Myths, I'm going to share the comparison that Dick, I'm a piece of crap, Cheney, used to justify terror. And I'm going to have you think about it. Because not only is he wrong, but so are the journalists who failed to hold him accountable for the diarrhea of his mouth.